Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Is this guy leaving the WWE?
Dean fucking Ambrose.
I don't know, but we're going to talk about that and a whole heck of a lot more on this week's Worked Over Wrestling.
It's Castro Down, Miranda Morales, and Greg Markham on your favorite show, Worked Over Wrestling.
Wow! What is up, everybody? My name is Greg DeMarco, and you are listening to Worked Over Wrestling. You can follow me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at that same address. And we are here, of course, brought to you by the greatest wrestling website in all the history of the world, TheChairShot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. We are part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which can be found on TheChairShot.com. And you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com and pick up one of our famous chair shot t-shirts. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, including two brand new styles that were just uploaded today, or just appeared today. They've been uploaded for a little bit of time. And that is our Jesus Did the Job and His Dad Was the Promoter t-shirt, as well as the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling t-shirt. Someone who will be very excited about that t-shirt is, of course, one of the two other members of the Trios Champions of Pro Wrestling Podcast. He's my best friend, he's my co-host, and he loves Carmella.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
He's the Christian to my Edge. It is the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
And happy to be here tonight.
Yes, Patrick, by the way, is a little under the weather, but he's going to try to utilize the mute button and save us from all of that. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, if a couple things sneak through here and there, that's okay.
Oh, what's that? You were talking about sounds. It says not contagious through the microphone.
Not that we know of. Not that we know of.
No.
So never know.
Real quick, you mentioned my love of Carmella, but her boy Ron Killings tonight.
Yep. Whole title action going on. Probably won't be talked about today, but that is A-OK.
Breaking their way to titles.
Nope, sorry. Don't have time for that. But we do have time for the third member of the Trios Champions of Pro Wrestling Podcasting. It is, of course, Miranda Morales.
Shut up!
By the way, she's the Kurt Angle to our Edge and Christian, Miranda Morales.
That's a good one. So, for context, Greg and I, we went to the Royal Rumble and we sat around, and for part of that time, we were coming up with some different trios angles for future introductions. And so at one point I was mentioning the Brood, but apparently no one wants to be Gangrel. And so Greg had teased that he had a really good setup for this week. And by surprise, Kurt Angle, I like it. I'll take it.
See, there you go.
Yes, I'll take it.
So, very good.
So it,
very good indeed.
It continues, I see.
What continues?
Well, I mean, the plotting behind my back, the
Yes.
The making decisions and changes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's part of the reason
really,
why I showed up tonight. Because I didn't
really
find back down because I was sick. Like, next thing you know, I'm not on the show anymore. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah. Taking your spot.
I told Miranda.
We sent you
I did tell Miranda there was an outside chance you'd find a reason not to be on the show this week. I mean, you would have a legitimate reason to not be on the show this week. Like you'd
that I'd find a reason not to be on the show today? So,
man.
So you don't really want me on the show. I get it.
Wow.
Of course we want you on the show.
No, play your little wow. Play your little wow thing because that's how I feel right now. It's cool.
You almost sound like Owen Wilson, too, like you're getting there. On the
I have a cold, so
that's true. That's true. By the way, I thought it was only fair that if Patrick has a theme song and Miranda has a brand new theme song, I hope you enjoy that theme song, by the way.
I do.
Miranda, I have one as well.
Mandy.
Watch out for Keith.
Because it's only fair. It really
is.
Yeah,
Mandy Rose Mark right there.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
We'll get there.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
As you have learned by now, I am not afraid of myself called out and made fun of. And that's where we're going to be when that topic comes up. But that's okay because we know how to party.
You guys know how to party.
So let's dive right in, because before we get to the Royal Rumble shenanigans and fun, we gotta go with the lead topic here, and that is, of course, the news, or whatever we're going to call it, about the impending departure of one of the original – well, not original, because there are only three – one of the members of The Shield and a person who's really been a pivotal part of WWE going back quite a few years now, and that is, of course, one
– Dean fucking Ambrose.
And now, according to what you want to believe, and even WWE.com itself, Dean Ambrose will be departing the company at some point in April, has informed the WWE that he is not going to renew his contract. He's not going to sign a new contract when that comes up. Just a little bit of time after a very popular and significant basketball player did the exact same thing to the Pelicans and the National Basketball Association. Patrick O'Dowd, do you buy it?
Maybe. I haven't actually really landed on the fence yet on this one, or on the side of the fence yet on this one, because
it sounds like you did land on the fence.
No. It's interesting. I didn't put the NBA connection together because I think that's tenuous and fast, but I did post a tweet that I thought was really funny about the whole thing, because when the internet was reporting that Dean Ambrose had, asked or had said that he didn't want to renew his contract, and that was the sort of thing that was floating around the various websites, the internet was all like, he's going to AEW, like this is gonna be a big deal, blah 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 blah. And then the second the WWE put out the tweet that was like, Dean Ambrose has indeed decided not to renew his contract with the WWE, and we wish him all the best, like. Multiple people, including one of the co-hosts on the show, though you weren't on the other side of it, but many of those same people were like, well, it's totally a work now because the WWE acknowledged it. And while I get that it's out of character, like, I don't know, maybe they were just like, it's out there, let it go. Maybe it is a whole angle, with him sitting in the middle of the ring and doing what he did on Raw. I very much see this being an angle too. I'm willing to go with what I usually say in these sort of situations, Greg. I'm gonna let it marinate. Let's just see what happens a little bit. That's how I work.
Yeah, which is just your excuse for not having an opinion. I get it. I'm there.
Nah, it's okay. You asked me to make an uninformed call because you're all about the hot takes, because you care about this way more than I do. I'm an honest podcaster. Like, let's be real.
If you want
the clicks.
If you're an honest podcaster, then you don't care about it.
I'm being real. I don't have an opinion yet. Right now, I think it could go either way. And I'm comfortable saying
obviously,
that.
Obviously, we'll know come April. Miranda, what do you think of the news of Dean Ambrose leaving WWE?
To be honest, I'm fairly surprised about this. Reading a lot of the news and the reports as far as his feelings towards what he's been doing as of late in the WWE, and especially some of his storylines and his character, I can totally understand him not being happy with it. I really thought too about how things have gone over the past few months, just with this latest storyline of his character changing a bit, the storyline with Seth. They could have really done some great things with it and really have made it him really hated as a heel. And they just didn't. Apparently with a lot of the reports, the word hates hokey shit has been out there, which I can totally understand that exact verbiage, because it's felt hokey. It's felt just really, and not even outplayed, that's not even the right word I want to say, but just like his character doesn't seem to connect with anything, and good, bad, in between, I'm not sure. So if he truly is leaving, I can understand why. As far as if this isn't where he thought he would be in his career. And also, I think he can take a chance on leaving, because if he ever decides to come back, they would let him come back. We've seen that with a lot of people who've left the WWE and have come back and even had a better role, like Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal and the Hardys, you know, even Kurt Angle. They left, and when they came back, they not only had time to redevelop their character and do something different, but WWE would put him in a different place and make things work a little differently. So I think he always has the WWE to fall back on. I don't think it hurts for him to leave. And if one day he decides to come back, I think that door is going to be open.
Yeah, the funny thing about this is everyone's reaction to and the kind of their shock and surprise that WWE has actually put it out there. They haven't just ignored it. They haven't kind of let it play out, but they actually, you know, put it out there and reported on their own site and dropped the real name, which they usually do when somebody's gone and when the release has happened, not, you know, 3 or 4 months ahead of time like has happened now. Here's the thing for me, and you guys can kind of jump in and share your opinion as well. Regardless of whether or not he's leaving, whether it's a work or whether he's really leaving, is all up to everyone to figure out, and we'll know in due time. I think the reason they put it out there is very simple and not as complex as people want to make it out to be and reading into it, and I get why they're doing that. To me, they put it out there simply so they can use it, because once they put it out there, now it can be part of the storyline. Whether he's really leaving or whether he's not really leaving doesn't matter. What matters is they're going to make it his story between now and April, regardless of whether or not he actually goes. What do you guys think of that? Like the reasoning behind why they would put it out there now? We'll let Patrick.
I think that makes a ton of sense. I agree with you 100% on that. Like it does lend itself to plenty of commentary about what. You know, you can do everything from talking about what kind of mark is he going to leave before he goes. Could be another, depending on how far they want to go with it, since it's going through WrestleMania, like, how's he going to mess with Seth Rollins? How's he going to mess with Triple H? Is he going to job to Nia Jax or wrestle Nia Jax a lot? Like, that's, you know, another, like, there are a lot of things that they could, you know, build and do and tell stories with him going out no matter what. It's funny, when you brought up using it as a storyline, I immediately thought of, this is my last night in Ring of Honor, you know, and that storyline that went on with CM Punk for a good few months before he really did leave as his last night in Ring of Honor.
Became a story in WWE several years later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, quite similar.
So, I could totally buy this being used as an angle from that regard. 100%. And they will.
I completely agree. I think that this is only going to add to the storyline, and it could definitely make it more interesting. And that also will leave who he ends up having programs with. That will leave that interesting as well, because You know, it could be anything, and almost this kind of freedom of, I'm going to leave, so who cares? You know, who cares what I do or how I do it or who I'm up against? I don't know if it's going to come across as complete apathy or more of this, like, I don't care. I'm going to leave behind as much carnage as I can because I'm there's no consequences for me. So they could turn it in a few different ways, and I think that that will make whatever he does within the next few months that much more interesting.
I also think it allows both parties to say that they're leaving under their own terms. Like, Dean Ambrose gets to be able to be like, I'm going out how I want to go out, and the WWE gets to be like, well, we let you go.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win from both sides in that perspective as well.
It is, 100%. It's definitely a win-win, and if it's a storyline, it's quite believable, just judging on the reaction on social media. If it's real, then it's real, and they're taking full advantage of it, which they should, and which they should maximize, because it's only going to make everybody, including Dean Ambrose, more money in the future. And remember, that's what this is about. This is a business. They're about making money. I do want to shift just a little bit, because we're going to go to the phones. Which I know we don't always get a chance to do. And you can call in if you want to at 914-803-4532. This is not a random average caller, however. This is one of the two hosts of Chair Shot Radio and the star of Outsider's Edge, both of which you can hear on the Chair Shot Radio Network as part of the ChairShot.com. It's a good friend, Ray Cash. Raymond, what you got?
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing?
Good, Ray, good.
We're good. We're good.
Anything happen interesting in wrestling today?
No.
Eh.
Oh.
Slow day.
So I was listening to you guys talk about the Ambrose situation, and I am a natural skeptic of any news that comes from our quote-unquote journalists. I'm always naturally skeptical. But I tend to follow where Greg was going, that I don't doubt that maybe Dean is thinking about leaving. I don't doubt that there was a conversation that about him possibly wanting to leave. I do not believe that he has told the entire company, I'm not coming back. I don't believe it. The timing of this is super random. The one thing that nobody's mentioned is that on Monday, because all this came out after Raw, on Monday, after the promo with Triple H, after the match with Seth, he was in the ring trying to get something off his chest, but Nia interrupted him. This is an angle. This is all the angle, and WWE, for all of the differences that they've been trying to do, and the Triple H-isms and the Stephanie-isms, and you know, embracing the new age of media and all this, that, and the other, the one thing they don't do is talk about their contracts. They never have. If they didn't have to do the Future Endeavors thing, they wouldn't. So for them to 5 months, 4 months ahead of time to let one of their marquee superstars let him walk like that, it just doesn't feel right. Something about it feels off.
I agree with you there. I do think they could be trying to, you know, if the news is out there, they might as well control it as much as they can. Plus with, you know, if it's real, it blows in the opportunity for someone else to capitalize on it, like an All Elite Wrestling, if that's the direction they go into. We'll see, you know, we'll see if it's real or not. To me, it's an angle, even if he is leaving. They are making an angle out of it. And Patrick made a point when he first started, you know, his discussion about it, about does he wrestle Nia Jax. I think we're heading in that direction. You know, Nia, of course, entered the Women's Royal Rumble or the Men's Royal Rumble match. Everybody went nuts. Are they bringing back intergender wrestling? I've said it a lot. I've said it on this show. We talked about it over the weekend as well. There's so much money in them and in the mainstream attention WWE would get if they ran with a man versus a woman. And I'm not talking about Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. I mean a prominent male and a prominent female in a match at WrestleMania. And we'll let Miranda go
don't
first
forget,
this time.
Don't forget Nia is an Inouye. That's Roman's cousin.
Yep.
Sure is.
Yeah.
So, Miranda, you were starting to jump in and I was throwing to you.
Oh, I was,
what do you think?
I was, I was just curious, and Patrick brought this up as far as the CM Punk storyline that he did in both Ring of Honor and WWE, that when he left, though, he had the WWE Championship ransom. So I'm curious, as if this doesn't work, then what is, you know, what is the ultimatum? You know, he doesn't have anything necessarily as leverage to hold over them at this point.
Renee Young.
Funny, yeah.
I'm taking Renee with me.
He's taking Renee. No, because he's going to earn the money. He's going to be the stay-at-home dad while she's making all the money, you know? He's going to be living the dream. So he needs her to keep on working because he's going to not.
That is the dream. Damn.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know. I'm just curious as to how are they going to play this out as far as what's going to draw him into staying. And maybe it is a storyline with Nia, especially if she's antagonizing him enough. I think she's done a really good job over the last 48 hours of essentially antagonizing people. And I think that if they do go with this, she may be pushing all the right buttons for him to say, no, I won't go anywhere. But I'm also curious as what would, as far as storyline wise, make him stay. You know, what would be the thing that would keep him around for, you know, whatever amount of time, or just to say, scrap that, I'm going to stay.
Can I respond to that real quick?
Go for
yeah.
it.
I hate to answer a question with a question, but my question to that is, if he really wants to leave, why don't you let him leave now? You know, if we're wondering what could it be that would, from a storyline perspective, want him to stay, well, by them announcing the news now, why would he even be utilized on television? If the company knows he's leaving.
Right, and so they can use it. I mean, even if he's really leaving, it gives them an opportunity to use it in a story. And there's something they've not really done before, not where someone has been on their way out. And even though it's probably amicable, they're going to play it off as if it's not. I would love to see it build to a match with Nia Jax at WrestleMania. I just think it's so much money in it for both of them and for the company. He did a great video, which is on WWE.com, where he talked about it, and he basically said he's going to assume that Nia Jax tripped and fell and bumped into him, and he couldn't tell what she was saying when she was yelling at him, but he's going to assume it was an apology, and he's going to go ahead and accept her apology. It was very well done, very Dean Ambrose. His promo with Triple H and the way he stepped through the ropes and exactly mirrored Triple H on Raw was brilliant. I mean, it was so good. And I think, you know, maybe this is something I don't think anyone's talked about. Maybe he wants some time off. And so this is their way to storyline his time off. I think what just got people so shook over the whole thing is they've just never done it. And that's a good thing. The fact that it's believable and we don't know is a good thing. And that's what I think the point is a lot of people are missing. This is good. This is – even if he stays, if he goes, they're doing something different. And we should be happy about that.
But we're the internet wrestling community, Greg. We're never happy about anything. That's just a stupid response, and you know better.
Yeah,
like,
that's why we can't have nice
– like,
we can't
man.
Have nice things because we, you know –
Well, it's not even that we analyze it. We get the nice thing. Like, I saw, for example, it's completely off topic. Like, there was somebody who tweeted that, I bet you that a bunch of you want the WWE to sign Kenny Omega just so that you can bitch about how they're not using Kenny Omega properly. Like,
that's so
perfect. It's true. Like, people be like, we're like, sign this guy. And then they sign this guy or gal. And we're like, then we're like, damn it, you fucked them all up. and that's what we do, but you know, I think we keep circling back on this. Yeah, I don't know what the story is going to be. He's definitely going to get something for WrestleMania. There's a lot of reasons why he could want to go. There's a lot of reasons. Maybe he wanted to do the I want to see my contract through thing too. Like, we don't, if there really was a conversation,
right?
We don't know what that conversation was like. He could have said, like, I'll honor my commitments, but after this I'm done. And they were like, okay. You know,
maybe he wants to see what he's really worth, and he really can't entertain what All Elite Wrestling could pay him unless he's out of a contract. And so,
does the non-compete continue once his contract expired? Does he still have that? Like, it wouldn't matter with AEW because he wouldn't be until Vegas anyway, which is months later.
Right.
But is that still out there if he goes, sees his contract through?
from what I understand, the newer contracts over the past few years have included a non-compete even after the contract expires.
Yeah.
But who knows? That's just really just hearsay. I don't know that for sure. But I understand that was something that was changed. But it also depends on how much money you're making and everything else. It's so rare for a talent the level of Dean Ambrose to leave unless it's for something like retirement or career change or to go on tour like Chris Jericho. Like, no one else leaves and goes to – and because there hasn't been a WCW-like competitor. And that's the other thing I want to get into. Say this is real. Say he's really going, and if there's a non-compete or if there's not a non-compete – there are a few names that could come available that would actually move the needle for All Elite Wrestling, like a Dean Ambrose. And I think that's, you know, something we need to actually consider as possibly being real, Ray. I know you love the business side. What do you think about that?
You know, my first thought is I'm personally, I can't speak for anybody else. Personally, I'm getting a little annoyed with everybody just assuming everybody wants to go to AEW. Like, I love that you said first. I love that you said, well, what if he just wants to take time off? You know, he just came off of a life-threatening injury. Maybe he just wants to sit chilling home with his dog for 6 months. New Japan is still out there. Ring of Honor is still out there. Like, I get the AEW talk, but they haven't had a show yet. Like, so all the lure is cool, but until they show more of a structure of a company, all this talk is just talk. You know, you have, like, one of the top stars of the biggest company of the past 5 years. I would think that if the money thing is an issue, as he said, I would think that he'd be more interested in something more concrete that would cater to his needs. Like, get that it's fun to talk or to question or think about AEW, but I'm just not sold on that yet until they show me something more than a press conference where everything they said they had to come back behind it and tell the truth about it.
But
oh yeah, lots
AEW
of clarifications.
AEW will provide health insurance. I mean, what is there not to love about that?
If you have a corporate job, you will get health insurance.
That is true.
Yes.
It was a corporate. You know, hey, you know, he can do something corporate. I don't know. I mean, that's absolutely true too. You know, it's there's so much out there. And I think it's because of the fact that this is the first viable option, even just the idea of an option for the first time since WCW. And now that we've seen history play out with how things went and knowing what we know now about what happened between WWF at the time and WCW, you know, I think that just people love to speculate about the what ifs and what could happen, just because we know now kind of how things worked out back then and all the competition. And so I think it just leaves people excited and gets people, you know, really energetic about the future of pro wrestling. But I absolutely agree. I mean, I think for people career-wise, it is a huge gamble to leave an established company like WWE and with thinking, oh, they'll jump to AEW that has not had a show within the framework of AEW, that there's still so much questioning about what, you know, the pay structure will be and the benefits and what's going to be the benefits for the wrestlers in there and what even the schedule will look like. I mean, you can plan all this out until we see it in, you know, laid out. It's all speculation. And to ride, you know, put really bet into that, That's a huge risk, but maybe he's the perfect person to do that, you know, to feed into that speculation. I mean, he, you know, has seen the other side. Maybe it wasn't all that it's cracked up to be, just like other people, like, you know, a la Cody Rhodes, and, you know, realizes that if he wants to just get back to why he loves wrestling and what made him want to do this in the first place, venture elsewhere.
I also think that AEW is just the shiny new toy that people talk about. If AEW didn't exist, then everybody would be talking about him going to New Japan or Ring of Honor. I think that that's absolutely true because it is kind of our natural thing to do. And right now, for better or worse, AEW is the most talked about product outside of the WWE going right now, and it hasn't even had a product yet to show. And so I do think that that's where a lot of us go automatically, because it seems like the bigger fish, particularly when, you know, you found out who the financial backers really were for this company, that that make it look a little bit more like it could be a legitimate option for a star that would maybe command a little bit more money than we would normally expect out of your sort of your typical indie. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from, Ray. I agree with you. I don't know that it's automatic or anything like that. And again, we don't even know that it's automatic that he's leaving. But yeah, I think we love our shiny new toy, and as like fans and people in the media and like to speculate, and you know, we'll find a new one shortly when AEW either succeeds or fizzles. And that's just kind of the cyclical nature of it all. So, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Let me, we're going to wrap this topic up with a question. And this is kind of a gun to your head, had to make a call on this date, you know, when we're recording this on January 29th, 2019. Gun to your head. After WrestleMania, the next company that Dean Ambrose or Jon Moxley or whatever wrestles for will be who? Ray, we'll let you go first.
Until I have some more concrete evidence and proof or something more definitive than a random weird press release out of nowhere, I'm still going to say WWE.
Miranda?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'm going to say not WWE. I mean, I know that's not answering the full question because I wouldn't know where else. At this point, I don't know about New Japan as far as that schedule and travel. Maybe he stops by Ring of Honor, says hello, gets a cup of coffee. Who knows, you know? But I'm going to say he's not. After WrestleMania, he's not with WWE.
Sure.
I will say that this is real and that he's going AEW. Just, I'll be that guy.
Okay, you'll be that guy. I'm saying WWE. I'm with Ray. I think WWE is where he goes. I do think it's very possibly take some time off, but I think that could be all part of the plan, and they're going to use it because, as we saw when Alexa Bliss walked into the Royal Rumble, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we'll talk about that here shortly. Ray, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. I appreciate you guys. Follow the show at Chair Shot Radio and Outsider's Edge at Outsider's Edge SS.
All right, there we go, Ray. We do appreciate you jumping in there, talking about this topic. And yeah, 2019 is this just this kind of year because All Elite Wrestling is such a huge, you know, question mark. Miranda brought up a great point with Ring of Honor. They have outbid All Elite Wrestling and even WWE for a couple of people. So who knows? Maybe they're an option that no one's even thinking about because they're just not the big cool thing right now. Who knows what's going to happen? But that's the great thing about 2019. We don't know. And Patrick, I'll let you go first on this because this is a topic that you see all the time on Twitter. I think it bothers people that there's so much unknown right now.
And I don't really get why. I actually think it's exciting. You know, whether it's with the business in general or even with All Elite, like, I know a lot of people are like, well, they haven't even put on a show yet. Do we really know what they're doing? What about all these contracts and structures and what's going to happen? You know, they're bringing the right people in to work on this. Like, they're doing this the right way. I actually have a lot of faith in what they're putting together. You know, whether they put on a quality show, that'll be a whole other thing. But it's funny because I think that people forgot what it was like in the 90s. Because, well, maybe a lot of them weren't even alive. Like, when you really look at 96, 97, 98, when shit was crazy in wrestling, people don't remember that. People were four that are watching wrestling now. You know, they don't realize how big of a deal it was for somebody to talk about jump a chip or go away or, you know, that this company's rising up or that another one's coming along. So, you know, for me, it's kind of a throwback. Like, it is. It's not a Monday Night Wars all over again, but it's definitely, you know, a landmark date or a landmark year for wrestling, much the way 1997 is for or was for WCW and the WWE.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely is. Miranda, what do you think? Does it bother people that there's just so much unknown? Does it make people just not know what to do?
I would say yes, because I think that for the past, I don't know how long, even I would say 10 years, probably more directly the past 5 years or so, wrestling has been fairly predictable to a point where it's been annoying, where they know who's going to get pushed and who's going to win this and who's going to go where. So I think that even though, kind of like what Patrick was alluding to earlier, people are going to be upset when they know things and when they don't know things, because it's going to be what they want, but also what they don't want at the same time. So I think that it is exciting for people to be able to feel like they're experiencing, you know, the Monday Night Wars, you know, era all over again. And I think a lot of it too is now they know so much about what happened behind the scenes that they're, I think people are kind of utilizing some of that same knowledge to think or predict what's going to happen when, you know, life is very different. The business is so different than it was, you know, and even, you know, 96 through, you know, 2001, a lot of things have changed. And so I think utilizing some of that same, you know, thought processes is only going to disappoint some people when they realize that things aren't going to be as maybe competitive as it was before. Now, I do think it's interesting that AEW has released that they're not right now looking at people who are currently working for other companies. And I think that's just primarily WWE, that they're only looking at 6 to 8 people. So I think they're also utilizing some strategy to really downplay how they are looking for talent and how to build up their roster, because of the fact that they know, I mean, things can get so explosive so quickly. So they don't, it sounds like they don't want to put anything out there until they feel fairly confident about who they're going to have on their roster. Again, that kind of mystery or lack of information, I think, gets wrestling fans pretty riled up.
Yeah, but that's just Chris Jericho talking. Who knows if that's really what the company thinks. By the way, Miranda, I let you get through that whole thing. There was no buzzer.
No buzzer. Thank you, I guess.
You're welcome.
And now we transition. Wait, wrong one. What's that?
What was that all about? I haven't even read it yet today.
I know. I pressed the wrong button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing.
Gets force a habit for him. He's just, it's always trigger happy to press it.
I saw the word game bat versus Mario game show, which is something we were going to use a really long time ago and never did. This is what I wanted to press. We have two distinct topics today, so we can actually play this in the middle like it should be played. So we're going to play Worked Over Match Game, and we're going to have some fun with it. So this week is actually my week to be the contestant, and you guys to be the panel. And I guess we can see what Taylor has to offer us this week. You guys ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
All right. So as you don't know, because I made it up, Taylor was booked on an indie show this weekend because someone still books Taylor, and she actually won an indie knockoff Royal Rumble match. Go figure. Surprise. So Taylor will not have to choose who she'll be challenging at WrestleMania. Instead, Taylor has to choose blank. So Taylor won an indie Royal Rumble this weekend, and instead of choosing which champion she will challenge at WrestleMania, Taylor has to choose blank. Now, I made up the question, so when I made up the question, I also came up with my answer. But you guys can take a moment to ponder your answer and figure out what Taylor will be, what she has to decide, what choice she has to make with her independent knockoff Royal Rumble victory. Do you guys have your answers?
No, this is hard, man.
Yeah, this is...
Getting through the semantics of your question.
Yes, yes. That's the way Match Game always works, though. So Taylor won an Indy Royal Rumble this weekend, but instead of choosing who she will challenge at WrestleMania, she has to choose blank. It's that simple. That's why it's good that we have music to play while you guys think. So, let's lock in your answers. Do we have answers? Miranda, we'll start with you. Do you have an answer?
I have answers.
Don't give us the answer. Just confirm that you have an answer. Miranda, do you have your answer?
I do.
Okay. So, Taylor won an independent knockoff Royal Rumble this weekend, but instead of choosing who she will challenge at WrestleMania, Taylor must choose blank. My choice for Taylor? Taylor must choose which lie she's going to tell next.
Damn, dude.
That's right.
Ooh.
I went there.
You did.
Patrick?
What did
Taylor have to choose?
Mine was way nicer. It was just which shitty photo you were going to push on Twitter this week.
See, I wouldn't know that. She has me blocked on Twitter.
Every fucking day.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Miranda?
I didn't do any deep cuts this week, but I did say that Taylor had to choose between eating the Royal Rumble burger or seeing how a hot dog is made.
I had a feeling you were going to go with hot dog when you said you didn't have a deep cut this week. We did not match this week on Work Different Match Game, but that's okay.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
It's time to get off.
Preface it before we dive in, but Miranda, are you ready for the theme song of the week?
I am. I have no idea what it is, but I am ready for it.
You don't remember what it is? This is part of remember the plotting and the strategizing you talked about earlier. This was part of it.
There's been a lot that's happened this weekend, man.
See, you can't even find a good nemesis, a good partner in crime, Greg. Can't even remember.
Oh, she'll
play.
Remember.
I'll remember. Yes.
Not yet. Don't do it yet. See, we're going to sing along with it, Patrick. You ready to sing along with it?
No, thank you.
Do you remember the words, Miranda?
Brock.
Yeah, let it get to the first part.
Brock.
Not yet.
What?
It goes lower. Ready? Now. Brock. Come on, Patrick.
Sound like two dying chickens,
guys.
So bad.
Of course it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I serve as the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed, universal champion, Brock Lesnar!
How over was that intro during the Royal Rumble, Miranda?
Oh, yeah, so over. Everyone just did it with him.
In the middle, he cut a little promo and did his whole spoiler shtick, but then he went into the thing and we all played along. So let's talk about the Royal Rumble. Let's dive in. And for starters, Miranda has been gracious enough to go ahead and get the standings together for us already. So let's run about how did we do with our picks and how are we doing in the standings?
All right. So I'll go with the person. I'll kind of go from person who had the least amount of correct picks to the most.
We have time. If you want to go down, you mentioned going down the matches. If you want to run through them really fast, we can.
Holy crap. Really? That's a lot of matches. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we just have some surprises that I'll throw out there. So, one for the United States Championship, we had all picked Rusev to retain. So I'm sure, just like everybody else in the stadium, we were all surprised when Nakamura went back the title, alluding to something Patrick went on earlier. That didn't last very long, but that's a topic for another day. There was the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, where we split that in half. Myself and Patrick picked Shane and The Miz, while Denise and Greg picked The Bar. Denise was the only one who successfully, or I'm sorry, not Denise. Sorry, that was my bad. I was going to say she was actually the only one who didn't have the correct pick for the SmackDown Women's Championship. She had picked Becky, while the rest of us had picked Asuka. We were all wrong about the Women's Royal Rumble. Not that I'm mad about it. I'd be wrong all day, knowing how it turned out. But unfortunately, for our picks, Charlotte did not win. And yeah, those were kind of the big ones to go over as far as where we were at for the Rumble. As far as the person with the least amount of picks, correct picks, Greg is in fourth place, I would say. For the purposes of this event, only having 3 correct picks for the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just the Rumble match, not including TakeOver? Or just the Rumble, not including TakeOver?
For TakeOver, I don't actually have it. I don't have your TakeOver picks. You never said
I get it. Yeah. They were in the article. I'll give them to you.
Yeah.
I'll send them to you.
Yeah. Anyways. But
well, just
from
pick
there,
the 5 winners. It's just the 5 winners. That's all.
Just a 5 minute, sir.
Right. That's exactly what you think.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely not true. I can tell you that.
From there, in third place, Denise, she had 2 correct picks from NXT TakeOver and 4 from the Royal Rumble. In second place, Patrick, him and I actually tied for NXT. We both had 4 correct picks. And he had 5 correct picks for the Royal Rumble. And maybe de facto first place, I got 7 correct picks from the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
I'm pretty much I'm the champion of the world. So it's a pretty good feeling.
You're the champion of January. Like,
fine, I'll take it. I won January.
We play the long game here, child. I'm just saying. She's new.
Just kidding.
Okay, I'm going to give you mine on. So, first of all, I picked Undisputed Era, so that's wrong.
Wrong.
Yep, that's wrong. I picked Matt Riddle, so I got that part right.
Oh, yep, you got that right.
That one right. I got to talk to Tony about using bullet points and not little dashes because it really makes it hard to read on the website. Bad, it's because he didn't do it right. Let's see here. Oh, you picked Gargano. Let's see who I picked. This is really. I picked Ricochet. That's good. Wrong there, too.
Really sure?
Bianca Belair. Let's find out for sure. Let's see. Scrolling. I'm last on all these lists, as I should be. Oh, I look at Bianca Belair. That's nice of me.
That's the one I missed. I couldn't remember who I missed at NXT.
And I'm pretty sure I also may have picked Aleister Black. Hang on. No, I picked Tommaso Ciampa. All right, I got one.
All right.
Good for you.
Yes. Good, good for me. So
still,
I got 2 right, so it's not helping me.
Still last place, yeah. But, you know.
You successfully maintained last, Greg. Good job.
That's right. Hey.
You held on to the last spot.
There's a win in there somewhere, right?
There is. So with
the score being how how do we stand in the battle of the sexes between the men and the women?
You're dragging my ass down. That's what.
Uh-huh. That's pretty much the summary of it. Denise and I, we, as far as our picks overall, we had more correct picks than you and Patrick. Just by a few, but you did drag your team down. So
yes, I did.
Yes, that's
way
what happens.
Go.
But yeah, it feels good. It's good from the view up here. You know, I know it won't last forever, but I'm gonna take it. You know, thank you to all the fans out there who supported and believed in me. This one's for you.
Wow.
Yes, it is. We will we're only a couple weeks away from the next picks episode anyway, so we'll we'll see how
things
go.
Well, maybe put some fire up in here, you know? I mean,
that's right.
I know I won't always be up here. I know I'll have some bad picks, but I was, especially after what happened with TLC, I was super, I just made some poor decisions at TLC, and I made a vow to really step up my game. So I'm happy
you
that
did.
I
that's fair.
Took it.
But up you did. So let's shift in and talk about the Royal Rumble itself. Patrick Adell's favorite pay-per-view of the year, of course, just to make sure everybody knows. And this is not, you know, we spent plenty of time over the weekend rubbing this in. This is really so you, the listener, can just know where our perspective is coming from. Miranda and I are both there in the arena. Patrick was watching from at home, and that is really just for the perspective. What were your thoughts? What did you think of the Royal Rumble, Patrick?
The whole show, or so
yes,
overall, I enjoyed the whole show. I do think it's really interesting to hear your descriptions of the crowd, especially after the Women's Royal Rumble, because according to the reports that you gave me, you said that it seemed pretty, you know, the crowd was still pretty strong for the remainder of the card. It did not come off that way on the network.
The only match that it was down for, the WWE Championship match, the crowd was down.
Immediately follow it, definitely had a field goal damage. But like on the television, it didn't feel the same. Like it was definitely like if you were watching from home, peak investment from the live audience seemed to be at the conclusion of the Women's Royal Rumble. And you even saw that I think 7 hours of exhaustion start to set in for those of us watching from home too. If we led with the whole kickoff show where there's the hour of nothing before they actually have matches, made a big difference. But you know, I was very, very pleased with both Royal Rumble matches and their results. Like I think we talked about on the show. Like Seth Rollins was my number two, you know, and Vegas had Rollins from the get-go, and so it really wasn't that big of a surprise. I felt that the Women's Royal Rumble, I was trying to explain this to somebody who doesn't watch, the Women's Royal Rumble told so many more good stories throughout the course of that match, and their spots that they did to avoid elimination, including the one that you stood up in your chair for. all of that was much more well done on the Women's Royal Rumble. There were just so many more better, like whether it's a handstand, whether it's Naomi not getting back in, whether it was, telling the story of, Nia or Becky coming back in. Even the way that they got Becky back into the match was very clever, though I was mad at myself that I didn't catch on when the fake injury happened initially. It wasn't until she came out limping. I was like, oh, Becky's coming back. And there was no question. Like, somebody asked a question about, like, why I couldn't Sasha come back and do it? And I was like, nope. That is Becky's spot, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
The Men's Royal Rumble match, though.
Because Sasha didn't come out and ask for Finn Finley, that's why.
Yeah. who I guess we now know has the authority to throw, extra people in matches, which is good to know.
I
didn't know that. I didn't know that that was his responsibility. But now we
know.
Now we know.
The Men's Royal Rumble match was, it felt very, like watching it from my perspective, it felt very disjointed. And very, like, it didn't feel like it had a good flow in just sort of the way that the match was performed. And it wasn't that anybody did poorly. It felt a little less organic in the way that it was put together and the way that things kind of came to be. I'm tired of a New Day Kofi near elimination thing. I get that that's his thing. Kind of like it was Shelton Benjamin's thing before was that. Now the Johnny Nitro's as well. But there just wasn't a lot of, there wasn't nearly as much meat on the bone, it seemed, in terms of the story they were getting to with the Men's Royal Rumble match. It really did seem to be, from my view, who for Raw is going to win this match to then have the opportunity to take on Brock Lesnar, especially after Brock beat Finn Balor, which was a great match in its own. I think the wrong guy won, but whatever. But it felt weird. It wasn't that it was bad, but it was very forgettable. Even the final elimination, when Seth gets Braun Strowman out, I was like, oh, look, they did the Benoit spot.
But then they did the curb stomp, so.
But they did the Benoit spot. Like, they added the curb stomp to the Benoit spot. Like, it's the Benoit spot. Like, and so, and they've done it multiple times with, like, the Big Show. Like, that is a very, that's even things, the setup was very similar. I was thinking about this. The Big Show has been, like, one of the last guys a couple of times where smaller guys had to, like, overcome the monster to get the win. Or Rey Mysterio over Randy Orton. So even the end was very typical of Royal Rumbles. And so from that aspect, like, it got where it needed to go. It was a perfectly fine match. But I won't remember this Royal Rumble, that men's Royal Rumble at all, like, 2 years from now. 2 years from now, I'll be like, oh, yeah,
I agree with you
on that.
Yeah.
Because for the men, it really is Seth Rollins' time. It was kind of Seth Rollins by default. He's earned the opportunity to do it, and I don't think anybody can really argue against that fact. But it also there was less of a surprise. The women, I think it was just more of an exciting Royal Rumble overall. Miranda, what were your thoughts before I go into a couple interesting facts that I unearthed on my own, a couple that I saw elsewhere?
I completely agree as far as the feeling that the arena had with the Women's Royal Rumble was, I mean, fairly different. There was the excitement of who was coming next, and I mentioned this to you during the event, that I'm glad that they started to incorporate more NXT wrestlers instead of relying more on veterans. And I know for last year, a lot of that was just more to kind of pay homage to those women who paved the path, and because it was the first one. But I'm so happy that it really got to showcase some really unique and talented wrestlers from NXT. That was a really interesting thing, because you got to see a bunch of women that you typically don't see or haven't seen in a while interact with women from the main roster. That did happen a little bit from the men's, but there was a lot more women from NXT in the Women's Rumble. So I think that added to just the dynamic. And then the whole element of Becky. I think people knew they wanted it, and as soon as the puzzle pieces came together with Lana, I mean, that arena just blew up when Becky came in. I mean, that was something that I remember. I was screaming and yelling, and I was so excited to see that, just because we really wanted her. I mean, as a collective, really wanted her in there. Still thinking that towards the end, Charlotte was going to win, but I think she still would if Becky had that fighting chance. With the men, I think the biggest pop really came at the beginning. That whole Jeff Jarrett thing totally, for me, came out of left field. So it was a great way to start. But towards the end, I think exhaustion kicked in, and that assumption of we know who's going to win. So, it wasn't nearly as exciting as the women's. Absolutely.
And, I think if not for the whole Nia Jax thing, the Women's Rumble probably would have gone on last. But once you have the Nia Jax spot planned, you have to put the Men's Rumble on after the Women's Rumble. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And so they did the Nia Jax spot. And I'm for it. I'm glad they did what they did. It was a surprising element. Let's kind of shift. We've alluded to a couple of these. Favorite moments in general. And obviously, we have the live aspect. And so we'll get started. And because we have a different perspective. So Miranda, why don't you share my favorite moment from the Royal Rumble?
it did start with – with Mandy Rose coming in, Greg was, you know, 100% for her and her performance, which I was surprised that she lasted as long as she did. Having Liv Morgan go out first.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, for now. And then having her do as well as she did, remembering how last year she was, I believe, the first one eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So to have her within the last as long as she did in the Rumble was fairly impressive. But, you know, Greg's markout moment was when Mandy eliminated Naomi from the Rumble after she had, you know, done her thing to get back onto those steps. When she yanked her off, Greg just stood up and just started cheering. I had never seen him so excited in his life to see Mandy Rose, you know, to see her fight back against Naomi. So
Part of it was because she ruined the Kofi spot. Like, if she just eliminated her from the match, yes, I would have been excited, but I wouldn't have been as excited. The fact that she ruined the Kofi spot made it that much sweeter for me.
She got some good heat from that. People were fairly upset at her. So she did her job. She got good heat from it. And it is advancing that storyline, which I think people are becoming more and more invested in. So good for her as far as playing up her role.
Yep.
Because she did ruin the Kofi spot. That's, you know, her. Not
she
only
did.
Is she ruining marriages, she's ruining the Kofi spot. What else do you want, Mandy Rose? What else do you want to take from us now?
She's a heel. In an era where it's hard to be a heel. Give her credit. So your favorite moment. There's a lot, actually, for you, and that's one of the things that I really cherished from the experience. Becky winning was a big one, but I don't want to go into the details on that because I don't think that's fair. But Becky winning was a big one for you. When Bayley came out, though, like, you were like a child.
I was, yes. I'm a Bayley mark. I'm a Bayley mark till the end.
I did not know that. Uh-huh. Patrick, this is one of those things we didn't know. The mark level for Bayley is very high with this one.
Oh,
extremely high. Yeah, so very, very high.
I'm a child at heart, you know, so she she calls to me. And I thought she had a fairly good showing in the Rumble. You know, I think there was
definitely
she got some people behind her. We got to see, you know, some of that aggression. We got to see her without Sasha for a little bit. And I know we felt it a bit on Raw, too, which I hope that they can still continue with. But it is true. I am a Bayley mark. So be it.
What was very interesting, too, was the when she almost eliminated Charlotte from the Women's Royal Rumble match, like, people got really into that part. Like, because I think everyone just assuming that Charlotte was going to win, man, people went nuts for that. So definitely exciting moment for her as well. Patrick, what was your favorite moment watching the Royal Rumble?
Oh, gosh. So this is going to sound weird, but my favorite moment, it was also from the Women's Royal Rumble. Isn't really a moment, but more of an eye-opening showing that happened, and that was the woman who drew number one for the Women's Royal Rumble. Like, they made Lacey Evans a pretty big deal.
They did.
To have her come in number one, cut a promo, and work 26 minutes in
front of 48,000 people. Let's not forget.
And while her work, like, in the ring, like, you could tell that I wonder if she was nervous or, you know, I haven't watched her a ton. So some of her, like, some of the
she
spots
hasn't done
were
a ton.
Off in the beginning.
So,
yeah.
Not a ton to
and
see.
So
yeah.
It showed. Like, it showed that she was green. But that showed me that this is somebody to pay attention to because they clearly – like, you don't do that. Like, you don't put somebody in like that, have them go 26 minutes, even if you're just going back down in NXT to do whatever, which you're not, and hold your own for quite a while in that match. Like, that was impressive.
I really liked her interactions with Charlotte because, to me, that was a little bit of, like, foreshadowing
As the match got going, like, as things started to progress, she And it looked like she kind of got into the flow of the match. It looked a lot. She looked a lot stronger. But man alive, if that wasn't something to have you all take notice of, because nobody else really got that kind of out of the newcomers. Like people
right.
got good time and people got good moments. Like I was like, yay, Johnny Gargano, like look, he's got his moment over the mid side. But I was like, wow, they really see something in Lacey Evans. You don't
mm-hmm.
do that if you're not going to.
Yeah, Nikki Cross too. Nikki Cross.
Yeah, Nikki Cross was over huge.
Nikki
the
Cross.
Pop for Nikki Cross.
Another
amazing.
Yes.
Another person I saw a lot of good things about as far as the internet reaction was Casey Catanzaro.
Oh yeah, she had
a lot
the best
of people.
But that was all over one spot.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was she displayed a lot of good athleticism throughout the match too. So I think the spot was good, but like you could also see her versatility as far as a lot of her kind of gymnastics type of moves, which I thought was really unique. I don't see it
mm-hmm.
that any with anyone else within the women's division, and I think people started to catch notice of that. So I mean, for her, one, she hasn't been wrestling that long, even though she has an athletic background and people know her from Ninja Warrior. For them, same thing with what they did with some of the other people. To put her in there for so early in her career is a big thing. But I started to see a lot of buzz of people taking notice of her, which, again, I think that it's amazing that the Women's Rumble did that. I don't think the Men's Rumble did that as much just because they didn't have as many NXT people
right.
there, or they don't need them, to be honest. But I think that the Women's Rumble did such a good job of that. I hope they continue that, because I also see that people seeing that distinction too between the men and the Women's Rumble in the future is they're probably going to see more NXT people in there, and I think the fan base will really continue to like that.
Now, I wanted to bring that up because we talked about this, but I want to get Patrick's perspective on it. This Women's Rumble featured zero legends, and all the talent they needed to fill out the 30 was from NXT. What did you think about that?
Maria Kanellis is a legend, right?
She's on the active roster.
As is Alicia Fox, yes.
Yeah.
I liked that. I thought that was a good move. And I think that you do that, you know, for as much as I will give the WWE a hard time about, you know, when they don't live up to the Women's Evolution sort of moniker, I think this actually is very indicative of them saying that, look, we are moving forward because look at the talent we have, and not having to lean on legends like they did last year, which I don't think they leaned on it necessarily so much as I think that was part of it. But
mm-hmm.
I, you know, back to what Miranda said at the very beginning, it was also, you know, nodding and giving a nod to those few women who never had that, or, you know, didn't have that opportunity, you know, prior to that event, and making sure that those folks got to be a part of that and have a moment. Though I still question why Michelle McCool needed to eliminate everybody. That was weird.
We know why.
Who's she dating? Oh, that's right.
She's not dating anybody. She's married.
Married to. Sorry. Anyway. I thought that was a really good move. I think that shows that's a show of strength of your roster. That's a look at all this talent we have. Look at all these people. And it's a good way to plug some of these other shows that, you know, maybe we don't watch or I don't watch.
Yeah. that's funny. And we had that conversation during the Rumble too. Like, imagine where they're going to be in 5 years with this women's division, Miranda.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's
absolutely
insane.
So good. It's going to be insane. To see now the women who are established who will eventually almost be passing the torch, which is kind of strange to think about it, because we just feel like they've just gotten the torch, like this is their moment,
right.
and they've just gotten to this level. But to think a few years from now they may be, you know, like I said, Lacey and Charlotte Flair, I could definitely see that being almost a passing of the torch moment.
Mm-hmm.
If it were to happen, that would be an amazing program. But it's also, you know, she doesn't need to pass anything yet, too. I mean, she's
yeah.
you know, she's
still got 13 titles to win. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, she still has things to do. So I think also everything's going to be moving at a much faster pace now.
Well, there's only
there's only
4 years difference. Charlotte's 32 and Lacey's 28. So they've both got plenty of time.
Just in general, as far as just like
right.
the movement of women coming into the main roster and programs changing, it's going to accelerate. like so much so quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's also going to be interesting to see how things change just from a year from now. You know, who from those women are going to be eventually on the main roster. I also know seeing like Candice LeRae got a very big pop. And we hadn't seen her in a while. I remember seeing her at the NXT show in Phoenix in July. And she was getting a chant from the fans back in July, see you at the Rumble. And to have just to see that, you know, happen, fans were really excited. So, again, if anything, it just makes me really happy for the future of women's wrestling in the WWE.
Yeah, big time. Definitely. Definitely looks bright, and it's going to be very exciting. You talked about the Casey Catanzaro spot. Here's the other reason why I made her so popular. That made a lot of the male fans look at her in a light they haven't been looking at her already. And there's something to be said.
This is why we can't have nice things.
But
I know.
That's the
truth. That was kind of an awkward.
But that's the truth. You know that's how a lot of the male audience looked at it. That's the first comment I made during the show itself.
Yeah. That's why we can't have nice.
She wrapped her legs around the ring post. A lot of guys were like, "Hello, welcome to the welcome to WWE." So
that's so
back to my original point. For every step forward that the WWE takes, three steps back. People
but
like
that's their audience, and that's what's going to continue to happen. A couple interesting facts that I wanted to present to you guys. First of all, this Royal Rumble card, the pay-per-view card itself, had seven matches. Three of them were women's matches. Now, last year when we had the women's Royal Rumble match, it was the only women's match on the card because the two champions didn't wrestle. 42% of this event, which is a big four, quote-unquote big four, big five pay-per-view, was women's wrestling. That is by far the highest percentage of women's wrestling that has ever been on a big four pay-per-view, 42%. So that's huge. I mean, that just says a lot. And I don't think a lot of people noticed. And I think that says even more. The fact that people didn't notice the vast percentage of women's wrestling on the Royal Rumble card really shows how far it's come to the point where it's not even noticeable anymore. It's really just part of the show. What do you guys think about that? We'll let Miranda go first.
I think it's fantastic, but it's also a testament more to the matches that they decided to book on this. Mm-hmm. You had the two championship matches that each had their own distinct storylines, and the implications of what would happen with these matches were big with the Royal Rumble. Having the women's Royal Rumble go longer than the men's, having the way that it was structured felt more like a rumble, just more of that excitement and anticipation and the unknowns. All of the elements that we love about the Royal Rumble felt like that was more on the women's side than the men's. So I think that they are intentional, but also really concerned too about the quality of the programs and the matches, which that to me makes it that much better. And I think why it almost felt non-noticeable because people were invested in these matches. The more that if they were to go in some other direction where, you know, the you don't have that investment in the matches or you're concerned about what's actually, you know, being set up, it's, you know, that can then get people concerned. But I think that they just did a really good job of having the quality of the matches up to par and really setting these up beautifully.
Patrick?
I mean, I don't know. Miranda talks so long, my mind wandered. Just kidding. I agree. I think that, yeah, absolutely, 100%. You're starting to see this stuff get normalized. A little bit more and not feel like a weird attraction. Weird is the wrong way to describe it. But where it's not a throwaway sort of thing. Like, you know, the story of the Royal Rumble really was Becky Lynch. Like, from the pre-show through the conclusion of the Women's Royal Rumble. Because even though she wasn't involved in that U.S. Championship match, where the title change was clearly to serve a purpose to tell a story, it was about her, and it was about her ascendance. And so I think that, you know, when there are compelling stories, and you actually give women compelling stories that don't have to be tropes, Greg. I'm sorry, they don't have to be. You get a good show, and you can get a show that's, you know, going to make sense, and it's going to be dominating. It's going to be a story people want to see told, and want to see come to a conclusion. And so, yeah, I think that this is good. Do I think that this is the way it's all? Do I think that WrestleMania is going to get 42% of the card for women? Doubt it. But
definitely not. But
it's definitely a show of what there is there, you know, what there is to do. I think it, you know, shows what they can do with, you know, if they do a better job building stories towards doing another all women's pay per view. You know, if they ever do that again. But that, yeah, you could see other big four pay per views, you know, have almost, I mean, damn near 50% of the card, half and half. You know, I could see a SummerSlam going that direction. I could see a Survivor Series going that direction. But they got to maintain that. They got to keep having faith in their roster and their workers to tell a good story.
By the way, you can never criticize Miranda for talking too long again. Just want to make that point.
She talks forever. What?
So did you right now.
I need to get what? My airtime because she's eating it all up.
She's done a very good job this week.
I'm trying.
I do want to point out the other fact. This, the Women's Royal Rumble match that we all witnessed on Sunday went 72 minutes long. And I posted this as an article on the Chair Shot today. As far as for a 30-participant Royal Rumble match, that is the longest 30-participant Royal Rumble match in the history of WWE. So the women now have the longest 30-participant Royal Rumble match. In fact, it was 3 minutes longer than the 40-man Royal Rumble match from 2011. It's only 5 minutes shorter than the 50-person Greatest Royal Rumble match from last year, which probably shouldn't even count anyway. So this is basically the longest Royal Rumble in history. And that goes to the women. And until they do something to beat it, that's a milestone that you can't really take away right now. And I think that says a lot, too, about the stories involved in the Women's Royal Rumble were more important. Somebody wrote a great article over at Cage Side Seats where they actually timed the amount of time for each interval in the Women's Royal Rumble match. Zero went 90 seconds. I think the closest was like just over like 100 seconds or something like that. The average time for an entrance in the Women's Royal Rumble match was over 2 minutes. So they definitely did a lot for the Women's Royal Rumble, and it really was the more important of the two Rumbles. And I think it just says a ton about where the business is right now. So
I love that people actually think those intervals are tracked well.
No, it's all about Richard has talked about it so many times. It's you know what you have to accomplish. You know when so-and-so goes in, it's your turn to go out. They're not going to, you know, do the countdown until what needs to be accomplished gets accomplished, and that's really what they do. It's how Rumbles work. The Rumble is not about timed intervals. It's about telling stories.
And it's counting down. They give you the countdown, so you just believe it, too. Everybody likes the countdown. Got to do that.
Just like love, time's a work, you know? So what are you gonna do?
Time is a work.
Time's a work.
It is, and especially in a Royal Rumble. I will say this, live – the Royal Rumble is literally about counting and buzzing. That's all it is.
Right. So much counting.
Yeah. So much counting and buzzing. And that's so much that I learned from there. Some other things that we learned this weekend. That's what I want to kind of finish up with here. What did you learn this weekend from the Royal Rumble and from TakeOver? And Miranda, we'll let you go first. What did you – it doesn't have to be live thing you learned. Just the event.
Live thing? Greg knows this, that there's a lot of people who cosplay as referees. Maybe it's not full cosplay, but we counted about, at least stopped counting at 10 people who were wearing referee shirts, like WWE referee shirts.
It was referees versus Bailey, and it was 10 to 2 for the referees.
Yes.
And we're not sure. We might have seen the same Bailey twice.
Seen the same Bailey. So that's still left to be unsure. But and also, we started seeing this a lot more, too, just in general, a lot of people cosplaying as different wrestlers at live events, which I think it's hilarious just because some people put a lot of effort into it. Some people put minimal. Some people didn't. So, you know, that
older. If you want to go to a wrestling show in your underwear, just cosplay as a wrestler and they'll let you.
Yes. They allowed so many people to just go in trunks. And I'm thinking.
I thought that's just how people walked around Arizona.
Shockingly, no. This is a conservative state.
No, shockingly. No. Yeah, this is a red state, I guess. So,
right.
You know, pants are required in most
places
that you enter.
Go visit the Arizona State campus. We'll talk about conservatives.
And also
a lot of skinwalker around there.
Yeah, yeah. Also people with no pants there as well. But I think also just the to be in an arena with so many people at once, you know, cheering at the same moment, witnessing the same things at the same time, it really was an electric feeling for me. This was my very first pay-per-view that I've gone to, and to witness it was, you know, amazing. And I will have some that were live that I won't ever really forget. And just the camaraderie, too, of people, you know, everyone had their own opinions about what to do and what's next, but everyone was on the same page of being there for, you know, wrestling, which mm-hmm. was fantastic. And Becky Lynch, you know, I was joking with Greg, like, they should just rename Chase Field, home of the man, because that was her place. That was, you know, she had everyone in the palm of her hand from the
yeah.
first match all the way through the end of the Rumble. That was her place. And so I was really happy for her to have that moment too, because I had listened to her just a few weeks earlier at Ace Comic Con doing just a brief interview, and that anticipation, even from the fans there, it was just fantastic. So an amazing event. Happy to have gone, happy to have witnessed it.
Yeah, for me, live, the biggest thing I noticed is a couple. First of all, it felt more like a WrestleMania than a Royal Rumble in terms of the environment. Being in the stadium, having the big lighting rig on the middle of the field, like all that was just fantastic. The biggest thing that I learned that we haven't gotten into yet, there's a reason WWE pays Brock Lesnar so much money. And he proved once again why he's worth every bit of it. Like and this, according to people I've talked to, this even came through on the broadcast on the WWE Network. And remember, we were, you know, 3.5 hours into a show by the time this match started. And that's just the main show, not counting the 2 hours of the kickoff. Everyone pretty much stayed on their feet for the entire Brock Lesnar match. And, you know, it was shorter because it's a Brock Lesnar match, and they are. But he just brings that element and that aura that is unmatched by anybody else in the company right now. And it was just, you know, from beginning to end, people were on the edge of their seats or they were standing, and it was all about Brock Lesnar. And it just showed me again why he's so valuable to the company. The other thing I learned was being a takeover and the way the fans reacted and the way the fans got into everything. Seeing, you know, a lot of the same people reacting and loving the WWE product live just shows me that the WWE can put out a multiple, you know, different kinds of products, a variance of product, and it's okay for us to like all of them or some of them or most of them and not have to just, you know, prefer NXT over the main roster or anything like that. Like, this is why WWE is successful. They truly have something for everyone, but they also have a lot of things for everyone. It's rarely just one thing for everyone, and that's something that this weekend reminds me of. It actually gives all the internet complaining even less credibility than it had before, which was already really low. This weekend just showed me that the WWE knows exactly what they're doing, what they're about, and you know, I saw people. There's a person on Twitter whose profile picture is her wearing a Young Bucks shirt, who's the big cover shot on Twitter is the All Elite Wrestling logo, and she's tweeting all about how much she loved screaming along with Paul Heyman, doing the Finn Balor arms, cheering for Becky Lynch. Like, it was all about everything that is WWE, and this person just loved it. And it's like a, you know, we really could all get along if we wanted to kind of feeling for me, I guess. And that's what I learned this weekend. That and that, you know, Mandy Rose eliminated Naomi and made me go nuts.
Which was hilarious.
It was amazing.
I mean,
it was the best.
It's kind of hard to follow this with you two actually being at the event. I will say that every text you sent me of a photo, I think I responded the same way. So,
with some form of a middle finger.
Sure. Yeah. It was generally a middle finger.
Yeah.
Still a little hurt feelings. Oddly enough, we haven't really talked about this. But during the Men's Royal Rumble, the thing I learned is Nia Jax ain't going anywhere, is she?
No.
Oh, no.
If you don't like Nia, she ain't leaving. So buckle up. And for those and that there's a lot of people out there who don't understand what domestic violence is and should really look into that before tossing that around on Twitter as if Nia Jax was somehow the victim of domestic violence. She was not. She tried to participate in a match. She tried to eliminate somebody. The remaining competitors did what they needed to do. Well,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the remaining competitors did what they needed to do to take her out and remove her from the match, and they did it. So
well,
it just happened to be that she took everybody's
finisher. Wanting to touch her. Like what? Mustafa Ali was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But I love Mustafa Ali being like, wait, you want me to hit you? Him, of course, he's a former Chicago police officer. So I just love that, you know, the way that came up. And, you know, and here she was. I mean, it took a super kick, a 619, and an RKO to get Nia Jax out of that.
I was going to say, it was perfect that they had Randy Orton in there because he was the most believable out of everyone in the ring. It was like, yeah, he's going to RKO her. Like, he's done worse for less. So, like, that, I think the way that they had set that up with her being in there with those particular people, I also think was very smart because I'm not a Randy Orton fan myself, but I was cheering for him for the first time, and I don't know how long for that RKO. So, very smart, too, about
just
who
to
they
point
had
out, just more, this is just so Miranda understands the history. Patrick O'Dowd was on the Randy Orton train long before most people were. He was the Randy Orton supporter. Going back to WrestleMania 26, Patrick was like, you know, when he turned face, it was more of an organic face turn. Nope, not at all. Not at all. I love the fact that he tried to do the RKO from the beginning before the whole setup they did. Like, it wasn't just it was intentional, that RKO. It wasn't instinctual. He thought about it, then went for it. The whole Nia Jax thing, I think there's money in it. And again, this all comes down to the bottom line for WWE. And I think there's money in Nia Jax wrestling a man at WrestleMania and going over. And that's why I think the whole Dean Ambrose thing could be perfect. Because if he does go away for a while, then we've got that. Jerry Lawler had a great comment about somebody during the Royal Rumble match. And I'll let Patrick tell us that here in a minute.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin sucks.
Patrick?
Just in the middle of the... sorry. I had to find it. Jerry Lawler on commentary during the Royal Rumble. No one likes Baron Corbin.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin sucks.
I just like to be accurate in my quotes. Like,
I loved every second of it when I saw it in the replay. So I knew
it
was coming.
He still got it.
Patrick texted it to me. So, yeah. There was something JBL said, too, during the Men's Royal Rumble match that I can't remember now. That was really funny. And it'll come to me. But beforehand.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is
Yeah, there was a moment where Lawler said something that didn't make any sense, and they were like, your delivery is great, but your content sucks. It's just like, so random. They called Lawler out on it. But it worked because it's Lawler. 3 minute warning time, and all this craziness in WWE is going on with TakeOver, with Royal Rumble here in Phoenix. The former Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, made his Bellator MMA debut and, you know, basically faced a tomato can. And that, you know, purpose there was for him to go over. And go over he did. It was not a CM Punk situation. He definitely emerged victorious. But I'm not here to talk about his future in MMA. I'm here to talk about his future in professional wrestling. And Steve Cook wrote a great article about this, and it's something that I'm intrigued by as well. Could a successful career in MMA actually benefit Jack Swagger more in the world of pro wrestling than anywhere else? Miranda, we'll let you go first.
Yes. Because if we've learned anything about professional wrestling in the last few years is that they love MMA fighters. So I think absolutely it would help his profile. Going back to something I mentioned earlier, I mean, for most people, the door is always open. So if he has a successful career, I would absolutely see WWE welcoming him back and to hopefully utilize him differently or to kind of play on that character. Of course, we've seen that with Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. I think that was, you know, very successful for him to have that time in MMA. Of course, with Ronda, with Shayna, with Matt Riddle, and even others who've had, you know, even smaller MMA careers like Sonya Deville, they love, you know, MMA fighters because they add this sense of realism to it. So if he continues to be successful, I think even now they would welcome him. But if he were to really continue to grow and be successful, they'll be knocking on his door pretty soon.
What do you think, Patrick?
Yes.
Do you have a reason?
I mean, Miranda gave them all, so I don't really have any other reason. There's not really much to add to it, but yes. And I don't think it's even really much of a question. How big of a return he'll have to the WWE? Like, I think that's up in the air, but yeah, 100%. Like, I see no way that this, especially if he goes over, if he keeps winning, like, there's no way this doesn't end well for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, how he returns and what level he returns to WWE depends on how far he takes us. If he takes us through Bellator, goes to UFC and becomes UFC heavyweight champion, you now have a WrestleMania main eventer on your hands in Jack Swagger. Completely different treatment of him than you had before. Look at this. I mean, both Royal Rumble winners have now officially made their selections. They're both facing former UFC champions in their quote-unquote WrestleMania main event matches coming up this April. So obviously there's something to it. If he can get to the UFC, the sky's the limit for Jack Swagger. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Definitely a good thing. You can find Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. Hashtag Patrick400. You are at 395.
Actually, I lost a follower during the show.
Oh no! So
I was probably, I was, you know what it was? I was too hard on Miranda. I'm sorry, Miranda. I take it all back.
Yes, please, Twitter follower, please come back to Patrick.
Come back,
baby. Yes. Come back. You can play now.
Oh, that's a good Hall & Oates song.
Yeah,
they're all good songs. What are you talking about?
They laid some eggs. They all did.
Now you're gonna lose more Twitter followers. I can't save you from that. I can't.
Nah, you like every Hall & Oates song, I can't do anything for you.
Speaking of Twitter followers, we have Miranda, who's not on the Twitter, so you can't follow
I'm
her.
Not on Twitter because Kenny Omega didn't enter as the 31st participant entrance of the Royal Rumble.
Speaking of laying an egg.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, you know,
there.
Luckily for me, I don't have to do shit.
I think this is now an official standing bet on the show. Every pay-per-view, Greg makes a bold prediction. If it happens,
okay,
Miranda goes on Twitter.
But
it has to be the bold.
It's got to be the bold.
Yeah, it has to be the one. Cause,
it
you
can't
know,
be like Becky Lynch opens the show.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm sorry, Greg, that wasn't really that bold. Like, that wasn't that outlandish, really, like, of an expectation.
That match could have been in the middle. It didn't have to be in the beginning. If the Royal Rumble was at the end, it could have been in the middle.
Greg, I would put that in the land of very reasonable predictions. I don't know if I would have called it bold.
How many other people openly predicted that Becky Lynch would open the Royal Rumble?
Nobody cared to predict it like that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody predicted the opening match. Like, who sat around and be like, this is going to open the show?
When you make
that.
The bold
no,
predictions, there's a range. You can't not, lead with Kenny Omega at number 31. You got to get there. You got to build to
I'm,
it.
I'm just saying that by your criteria, I don't know that I thought it was bold. But like I said, it was reasonable, logical.
Yeah.
Possible prediction.
Quite defined.
We'll call it a possible
bold,
prediction.
Yes,
possible. You know
possible,
what? I'm going to add that to your total.
Optional,
just
logical.
You're still in last place, but I'm going to add that to your predictions. You did get one of those right.
You got one bold prediction right.
One bold one.
One
still
bold
in fourth
no,
place.
I do, okay, I like it. If the most outlandish prediction that Greg makes, like, or then that forces Miranda onto Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.
But I may not do it for every single pay-per-view. Remember, some pay-per-views, the way the company books right now, aren't even bold prediction worthy. So I can't make promises.
Like
but we'll
chamber,
definitely do them for WrestleMania.
The bold prediction for Elimination?
I think Elimination Chamber will be pretty easy. Elimination Chamber is the event where I've had my most successful bold predictions. So
yeah.
I will probably have to do that one. I don't know that I'll predict that Mark Henry will attack somebody and enter the match again, because the chances of that happening again are pretty slim. So.
Okay.
There you go. But yeah.
So, you know, I've been funny to see a lot of these memes and pictures out there of people saying LOL, and you all wanted, it's a picture of Nia Jax, LOL, you all wanted Kenny Omega to get in, or you all thought Kenny Omega was going to come in, and it's Nia Jax. So she at this point is going to just be ruining everything. She ruins matches and faces and now Rumble. So,
well, here's the thing,
too. Nia, who do you?
I'm a documented Nia Jax hater and have been for a long time, and I absolutely loved it. I loved every second of it, and I hope it leads to more. And that's coming from a documented Nia Jax hater. So.
I mean, at the end of the day, she's no Baron Corbin, so.
Yeah.
She's all right.
No, she proved that at the Royal Rumble. That's
there you
for
go.
Sure. And to the person who said, that means Samoa Joe gets to enter the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble next year, just
no.
go fuck yourself. Seriously.
Yeah,
don't,
come on
don't,
now.
Don't,
get I didn't
out of
think
here
about
that
for a second. I was thinking, you know, one of these days they're going to – I mean, we did see Hornswoggle. We completely, I think, on purpose decided to forget about that. So,
yes,
you know,
it needs to be
you
forgotten
never,
about.
You never know.
You just gave it airtime. Why did you give it airtime?
Yeah, Miranda.
Because I forgot about it.
Now you have to go join Twitter.
That's not how this game works.
You guys know how to party.
Make up the rules. But anyways,
that's what we do around here.
Yeah.
It's like the whole show.
No, that's my point. That's why.
All right. Well, you know what? Show's over. Yeah. We're good. We've done plenty this week. Shows run long. Shows over Miranda. Bye. So Patrick O'Dowd, under the weather, I got to be honest with you, didn't come through. You sounded great. No real sniffles or anything. You did a good job. So
thanks.
Definitely
man.
Do. Well done. And Miranda did a good job too. You didn't even get the buzzer treatment. So everyone did well.
Wow.
Good show overall. And from now on, we're going to go old school and end the show just like every episode of Raw used to end. With a little silk stockings action. So there you go. Have fun. See you guys next week. That's where you say goodbye.
Bye.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com?
TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head with attitude, bitch.